Easter Sunday, we focused on the empty tomb. We talked about what it is to leave that throne room and live life knowing who we are in Jesus Christ. And Romans 8, verse 11 was a verse we used. And it says this, goes this way: yet God raised Jesus to life. God's Spirit now lives in you, and He will raise you to life by His Spirit. And I want us to look at that word life. Life as someone who has accepted and understands the grace that God has offered us through our faith in Jesus. Life, living life, post-cross, post-resurrection, living life. You know, the purpose of this Bible, the entire Bible, the purpose of this Bible is Jesus, is God reconnecting to man, God speaking to man, helping us come to know who Jesus is, the incredible gift that He sent us, and then living life knowing Jesus. And God's plan is that we would have life, that we would have a life on this earth that is worth living. A saved life from sin, where we're no longer weighted under the guilt of the failures of our life. A new life on this earth where there is a new purpose, there is a new sense of meaning in life. And also, as some of you mentioned, the promise of eternal life. 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 I would like us to read or take a look at the account of the ascension when Jesus was left this earth. Luke 24 is where we're going to go. And the starts really in verse 44. We're going to start at verse 47, but 44, 45, 46, Jesus is telling them, He's saying, while I was with you, I told you everything about me in the law of Moses. In other words, Jesus is saying, listen, guys, when I was with you, I talked to you all about the prophets, what they wrote. I helped you understand that they foretold that I am coming. Jesus was telling them, reminding them, saying, listen, the fact that I am here is a fulfillment of the prophets. It is part of God's plan. And then He says, He helped them understand why He had to go to the cross. He helped them understand the empty tomb. And then verse 47, He says this: they also say that they also say that all people of every nation must be told in my name to turn to God in order to be forgiven. So beginning in Jerusalem, you must tell everything that has happened. I will send you the one my Father has promised. Who's He referring to? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. I will send you the one, this is Jesus talking here. I will send you the one my Father has promised. Note that the Holy Spirit, sidebar here, note that the Holy Spirit did not come from Jesus, but came from the Father, sent by Jesus. It's a difference there. Okay? I will send the one my Father has promised, but you must stay in the city until you are given power from heaven. This is a verse is known, along with some others, as a great commission. So Jesus helped them understand the cross. He helped them understand the resurrection. He helped them understand that or told them about the coming of the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand it at this point. They didn't understand it until they experienced it. And he's saying this. He says, what you know, what I have taught you is true. What you have experienced and witnessed and is true. Now this is what you are to tell. And there is this transition that happens at this juncture when at the ascension. The transition that happens was for Jesus meeting with his disciples, teaching them, helping them understand who he was, helping them understand the scriptures. And then when Jesus left, he says, for you guys, it's go time. Now this is you. Now you have a purpose. Now you have a mission. Now you have a reason for life. And that is the reality that through Jesus, everyone can receive forgiveness for their sin. You know, if Jesus would not have ascended, well, let's look at this next verse right after verse 50, verse 20, chapter 24 of Luke, verse 50. Jesus led his disciples out to Bethany, where he raised his hands and blessed them. And as he was doing this, he left and was taken up to heaven. It's one of those Bible stories that I just say, I wish I would have been there to see that. I wish I would understand what that really was like to be there. After his disciples had worshipped him, they returned to Jerusalem. They were happy. They spent their time in the temple praising God. If only they would have known at this point that the calling that Jesus had just given them would lead them to a life of suffering, would lead them ultimately to their death. The new way of life that happened that occurred at the ascension is the same for us today. We have the responsibility as a people who understand God's forgiveness, who understands God's grace, we have a responsibility of telling people about God's forgiveness through His Son, Jesus. No matter the beauty of this, you know this. If you've been coming here and at least having your earplugs out, you have been hearing that forgiveness comes through our faith in Jesus. We do not need to live under the weight and burden of sin. We can be forgiven. The beauty of grace is that no matter what we have done, the love of God reaches down to us and says, I forgive you. Here is my Son. Believe on Him. When you see your own sin and the guilt that comes with it and you repent, you place your faith in Jesus, that is forgiveness. You are forgiven. 100% proof positive, wiped away. Your sins are remembered no more. I see you've been coming with earplugs. We will check them at the door next time. This is good stuff. This is what it's about. But the reality is we live in a world where people don't understand that forgiveness. And you know what bugs me? Can I tell you what bugs me? What bugs me is when we come to church and Sunday after Sunday, we sing about the cross. We sing about the power of grace. We sing about all this stuff. And then we just say, oh, we're so glad. And we leave here and don't do anything about it. We don't care that other people don't know. You see, part of the problem is that we have made church into something that we do. Part of the problem is that we made church into this thing. Well, we have to get them to believe like I do. And so it's intimidating. You go out into a culture and a people that have this warped picture of church. And we say, well, you know, I don't want to they don't want to hear about my church. I agree. You have something so much greater to give people than church. Listen, I believe in the value of the church. I'm not dissing the church. Jesus established the church. But the church, in the way it's viewed in our culture, we're not bringing people to church. We're bringing people the reality that they can be forgiven for their sin. That is worth sharing. We can bring people and give them the reality that there is meaning in life, that there is purpose in life. Could it be? No, not could it be. We all at times struggle with really accepting and knowing for ourselves that we've been forgiven. And so it makes it difficult. It makes it difficult to live life with a purpose. Listen, for the believer, there is one sole purpose in life. Might be a little. The forgiveness of Jesus drives that purpose. For our own life and the reason we live, to share with others about the forgiveness of Jesus. How would your life change if tomorrow morning you go to work with one intent, and that is to let people know that through Jesus, they can have forgiveness for their life and find purpose and meaning? How would your life change? How would my life change? You see, the power of the ascension is that forgiveness meets everyday life. Jesus didn't just leave this earth and say, all right, guys, you're forgiven. Now go live your life and have a great life. He said, no. He said, I'm leaving, and I'm leaving you to take this message of forgiveness and do something with it. Start first in Jerusalem and wait there. Man, there's a whole nother sermon that could follow this about the power that we have in our relationship with Jesus to share this message of forgiveness. I don't want to go down that bunny trail this morning because I'll spend the rest of the morning there. The power of the ascension is that forgiveness meets everyday life. I move out into everyday life, free, forgiven, with a purpose to do the work of Jesus. You see, the powerful work of Jesus is this, that the cross means that forgiveness meets yesterday. You got that? Forgiveness meets yesterday. That's the cross. Your sins have paid for. By the way, it also meets tomorrow because it's paid for the sins that you're going to commit that you haven't yet. Okay? But for this sake right here, forgiveness meets yesterday, the cross. The empty tomb says the forgiveness meets eternity. The punishment of sin, which is, say it louder, the punishment of sin, which is death, has been defeated. right? The empty tomb. The ascension, when Jesus ascended, is where forgiveness meets everyday life. Sin does not control our life anymore. Sin is not what dominates our life. Just trying to survive on this earth is not there. We are living, I just had someone tell me this week, as a pastor friend was talking to me, and I was talking about the struggle of being a pastor when you don't feel like you are a pastor. In other words, when you are struggling with your own things in your life. And how can you be a pastor and struggle? And you know, how can you care about and teach and speak and preach and do these other things for other people when you yourself are struggling? How can you do this? And this pastor just shared a very wise word with me. He just said, it is out of our own brokenness that God uses us. And you see, this is why the ascension or the forgiveness part is so important here, because we must stay in a position of knowing that we are not perfect, that we will continually fail and struggle. We will deal with this stuff, but that doesn't keep us from being used by God. It is in those weak areas, that weakness, that God uses us. Why? Because my friend Jack has taught me for years and years and years that I am not the one that bears fruit, but it is rather God working through me that fruit is Someone that knows English, tell me how to say that. That fruit, you know what I mean. All right. You see, I don't want us to waste this awesome truth of forgiveness that God has given for your own life. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. There's a world of people. There's a world of people that you know, that you relate to, that need to understand that Jesus offers them forgiveness. You don't have to be able to debate theology. Listen, I forget who I was talking to again this week, but talking about it, and it was Paul. Paul and I were just chatting a little bit, and you know, talking about people that always want to argue with you and debate the scriptures and want to always have this long debate with you. And just sort of flew out of my mouth. I said, we don't need to waste time debating with people who want to debate. There's enough hurting people out there that just need to know that Jesus loves them and he offers them forgiveness. Someone wants to debate and get into all kinds of theological stuff. There's a time and a place for that. I'm not saying there isn't. But don't waste your energy. Jesus didn't. Jesus said, listen, I got a message here. He said, either you accept it or you don't. If you want to debate it and go on and on about all this other stuff, it's fine. I'm not in. I'm out. Bring me the brokenhearted. Bring me the people that need you, that are to a point where they're hurting. And they're ready for Jesus. They need my touch. They need my healing. These are the people. I want us to all right. We're going to go to a story in Acts chapter 8. This is not in your scripture lineup, Harold, so don't worry about that. Acts chapter 8. Story that's been on my mind a lot this week. I just think it fits here. Yeah, where's Acts? My wife always says I can't do two things at once. I can't think of one thing and do something else. But guess what? I just proved that she's right. All right. This is a story in Acts. Right after the church is being formed, the church is being persecuted. The power of the Holy Spirit was on them. They were amazing things were happening through the power of the Spirit. By the way, I firmly believe that what happened in Acts is the power of the Holy Spirit that was there in Acts is fully available to us today. I'm not one of these guys who says that, well, that was just for the Bible. It's available for us today. Now, Acts chapter 8 says the story of Simon the sorcerer. And I'm going to summarize this starting in verse 9. But there's this man named Simon, and he was going throughout Samaria, and he was performing amazing and powerful acts through his sorcery. In fact, the people gave him a title, depending on your translation, but NIV says they called him the Great Power of God. So here was a man that was doing such amazing acts and miracles and demonstrating a power that they called him the Great Power of God. And they followed him. They were amazed. By the way, sidebar, if you don't believe the devil is powerful, here it is. The devil masquerades as an angel of light. There is power. They followed him. And then verse 12, it says, then Philip came, and as they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. What was he telling them? What was he telling them? Simply saying, Jesus is who he said he was. He came, he died, there's forgiveness. He is the one you should be following. And it says they believed Philip, and it says they were baptized. And then they were following Philip, astonished by the great signs and miracles. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit, this is a chapter that gives us some insight into that. But later on, Peter and John heard about what was happening in Samaria. And so they went down to Samaria and they said, hey, listen, you guys are believing in Jesus. You're baptized, but what you don't understand is there is the power of the Holy Spirit. And Scripture says that they laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Simon, the sorcerer, he looked at what was happening here and he saw the power that Philip had. And what happened when the Holy Spirit came on them. And Simon says, man, he says, I want that ability. Verse 19, it says, give me the ability so that on everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And was there anything wrong with that? Was there anything wrong with Simon wanting that? Well, Jack, I didn't read that part yet, so don't let the cat out of the bag here. The reality is he wanted it for himself, so he had the power. not for the glory of Jesus. And he said, I'm willing to pay you money if you give that. Peter answered and said, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. He says, you have no part nor share in this ministry because your heart is not right with God. People, church, my friends, it's a heart thing. It's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. What is your heart relationship with Jesus Christ? What is your heart relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you in your relationship with Jesus Christ because of it's the right thing to do? You think it may make your life better? You think it may save you from hell? Listen, here was a man, Simon the sorcerer, who simply said, I believe in Jesus, and I'm willing to be baptized. Peter looked at him and said, you know what? You went through all the motions, but your heart is not right. Your heart is not right. And he said this, he said, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. And I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. And this is the beauty of this passage, is Peter did not say, because you did this, you are doomed. What he did say is, because you did this, you must repent. Why? Because your heart has bitterness, and what's the other word he used? And is captive to sin. When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said this. He said, Jesus told him, you must be born again. You must be born again. You see, the forgiveness that Jesus offers is not just forgiveness, now go on your, and then go on your own way. It is forgiveness. It is you asking God through the power of Jesus. It's one of the promises to come in and change my heart. Make me new. Make me something that I'm not. It's a change from the inside. Simon responded to him and said, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you may have said may happen to me. And we don't know. We don't know what Simon did. We don't know. The story ends right there. But I love Simon's response where he says, it's interesting, some commentaries actually do not agree with me on this. They would say Simon's response says that he wasn't even willing to change his heart. I don't quite see that. I see Simon saying, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me. To me, it was like I see him as saying, listen, I see you're right. I see what's inside of me. I don't like it. I wish we had the rest of the story. We don't. So I'm not going to predict or try and say what happened because we don't know. This week we had an amazing part of our amazing event in our culture where Bruce Jenner, a former Olympic athlete, actor, popular culture guy in our culture, sat in an interview with Diane Sawyer on ABC. I did not watch it. I read about it later. And he told the world at the age of 65 that he is transitioning from a man into a woman. Using this platform of national TV, he stated also that he was a Christian. And in his reading the transcript of what of the commentary in that interview, this quote stuck out to me. He said this, "I would sit in church," he's referring back as an 11-year-old boy, "I would sit in church and always wonder, in God's eyes, how does He see me?" And he has come to the conclusion that his sexual transition is God's purpose for his life. You know, my words to Bruce Jenner would be this. You know, your struggle with your sexuality is not a joke. It's not something that makes you strange or different. You see, your struggle with this area of your life does not make God love you any less. You are loved by God, Bruce. Your struggle is no different than any others who deal with lust, who deal with anger, who deal with hatred, who deal with jealousy, bitterness in their life. Your struggle is tied to sin that is a part of our everyday lives. Your struggle can be tied to the impact of other people's sin affecting our lives. Do you know that, people? You think it's all right to just let your sin keep running rampant, not dealing with it? Your sin impacts other people's lives. Okay? It's a reality. Bruce, this sin that causes incredible pain and turmoil in our life, it makes us question who we are. It makes us question God. It creates in us a longing to be free, to find some relief from the struggle. You are not alone in this pain and struggle that sin causes. Every human struggles with sin and the consequences of it. But Bruce, your solution is not the correct solution. Accepting and embracing your area of struggle is not God's solution to sin. For any of us to say, "This is just the way I am. It is a weakness in me. I can't do anything about it." This is not the answer. It's not the answer for transgenders. It's not the answer for homosexuality. It's not the answer for adultery. It's not the answer for lust, pornography, bitterness, anger, or jealousy. These are sin and go against God's design for our life. But Bruce, it's these very things. It's these very things that Jesus came to die for. It's these sins that God is offering forgiveness for. You are loved by God just the way you are. And He wants you to come to Him and ask for forgiveness for the way sin is rampant in your life. See, Bruce, when you understand God's love and forgiveness, that understanding of love and forgiveness will compel you to fight against the sin that rages in your body, that wants to control your life. You see, the path is much easier. The path is much easier to simply say that, well, it's just the way I am, and so God must accept me just the way I am because I was created that way. That's an easier path. We don't have to fight for what's within us. Or it's easier to say, I am this way because of what someone else did to me, and so I don't have to fight for what's in me. Or to fall into a state of utter hopelessness and despair and simply say, I can't do anything with this. I'm just going to give up. God's love and His forgiveness says the sin that we struggle with in our life, we fight against. We recognize our struggle as sin in our body, realizing that God loves us, that He offers us forgiveness, that He accepts us through our faith in Jesus. And then He says, surrender your body. Yes, that sin-filled body, and allow God to change you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, this is where Simon the sorcerer missed it. Simon the sorcerer said, I see what you're able to do through your faith in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I see what you're able to do. I want that. I want to be baptized. I want that. But Simon the sorcerer did not look within his heart and see what it was that was really messed up. And he didn't come to God, Jesus, and saying, Jesus, I've got a bad heart. Bruce Jenner, that would be my challenge to you. Have you really asked Jesus to change your heart deep within you? For each of us, that's the question. Have we asked Jesus to change our heart deep within us? When forgiveness meets everyday life is when we realize that our everyday life is dominated by a sin nature. And Jesus wants to change that. He forgives us, and He wants to change that. It's where we take up the battle and we fight against every sin that has created that need for forgiveness. There's a verse I'd like us to end with. Worship team, you can come up. And I just lost my verse. Here we go. Yeah, I still lost my verse. Let's see if I can find it here. The verse is Romans 6, 12 to 14. It says, don't let sin rule your body. After all, your body is bound to die, so don't obey its desires, or let any part of it become a slave of evil. Give yourselves to God as people who have been raised from death to life. And I just come back to this again and again. Simon the sorcerer, if you would have seen that Jesus came not just to give you the power to do things that would amaze people and that could impact people's lives, but if he would have seen that Jesus came to deal with your heart, that's the faith that Jesus is looking for. That, my friends, is the message of the Great Commission that Jesus said. Go and tell people that Jesus came so that your heart can be changed. I am 100% certain that some of you are sitting there thinking and saying, I don't see how my heart can be changed. I don't understand that. You know what? I'm right there with you. I don't understand how God does it. But God said He would do it. And so we step out in faith and we say, God, change my heart. Make every part, Romans 6, 12, 13, make every part of your body a slave that pleases God. Don't let sin keep ruling your lives. You are ruled by God's kindness. I want you to end with that phrase. You are ruled by God's kindness. Kindness. The kindness of God. It says, I see the bad heart. And I'm not going to kick you to the curb. but rather, I'm going to show you kindness. And it's with that truth that we can sing, your grace is enough, because you have extended kindness to me when I don't deserve it. We're going to end with a song of worship. I lost the name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Stand with us. We have a prayer time right now as we sing this last song. And if you just want to tell God this morning that you need your heart changed, I'm not saying you've never told Him that before, but if this morning you're just feeling it again, that God's prompting you and saying, man, I really want all your heart, I encourage you to come and just pray and talk to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe that you can change my heart. I don't see how, but I believe that you can do that. I encourage you to come. We sing, bless the Lord, O my soul, worship His holy name, because He changes hearts. So as we sing, worship God because He changes hearts. And I'm going to give you one more thing to come and pray about this morning. Actually, two more. There's prayer cards here. If you want to come and pray for them, please do that. The other thing is, if you know people that are hurting, that need to understand God's forgiveness, that need to know that they can have their heart changed by God, I encourage you to come and pray. Pray for them. Pray for yourself. Ask God for the boldness to speak God's love into their life and to tell them about God's forgiveness. So, Father, this was your message this morning. I don't know why it came out the way it did, but I trust you, Father, that this was a message for us, for me. Lord, may it renew my passion, my sense of purpose in life. May I again realize, Lord, that you want to change my heart. Father, may the truth of these words, may they be, may they not be taken out of our minds. May the robber not come and steal them. May they sprout and grow, Lord, as you water them. Pray, Lord, that you would continue to shape and mold us as a church, Father. Make us more like you, Father. Give us a heart for people. Help us to love people. Thank you, Father. We're going to worship you, Lord, because you are worthy of our praise. We want to bless your name. We worship you, Father. Thank you. Amen.